You're listening to Cat Tales.
Hi, I'm Kat, and you're listening to Cat Tales. The Jesus and Mary chain have been back in the studio for the first time in 2 decades, facing the difficulties of recording together and making a new album, Damage and Joy. Much has been written about the chaos and violence of the band's early live shows, their unexpected rise to mainstream top of the pop success, and of course their agonising decline. Now Jim chats to me about their seminal debut album Psycho Candy, his tempestuous relationship with his brother Will, and why they don't conform. This is The One with Jim Reid. Hello Jim, and it's lovely talking to you today.
Hi Kat, thanks, yeah, it's nice to be here.
Good. Right, well, I just wanted to start off really by talking about your brand new album, Damaged and Joy. First time back in the studio, I think, isn't it, for 2 decades. Wow. Now, you could have just hung up your guitars by now, but you've obviously gone back in the studio. What has drawn you back there?
It's what we do. It's what we do, but we haven't been doing it lately. So it's just time that we got back to our job.
The draw of the studio's come back and said, come back and make some music, has it?
Well, I mean, it was always the plan to make another album. It just took us a long time to do it. We split up in the 90s, we reformed in 2007 with the idea of doing an album then. But we're lazy, so it came out now.
Oh, you're lazy. I love that. But you're absolutely right that, you know, musicians, really, that's what you do, isn't it? That's your job, and people shouldn't be surprised that you're back in the studio with a new album. But the last one had particularly difficulties in recording, didn't it? So were you sort of reluctant to go back and have another attempt?
Well, pretty much. I mean, there was many reasons as to why it took so long, but that was definitely one of the main reasons. We broke up. Again, 97, 98, whatever it was. And it was largely due to the time that we spent cooped up in the studio making the album Monkey. I was, particularly me, I wasn't so keen on the idea of being bunkered into a studio again for months on end. And God knows what might have happened as a result of it. So I resisted it as long as I possibly could. And then it got to the point where I thought, well, everybody kept asking about this album that we'd mentioned that we'd be recording. And it just got to a point where we really had to record it or just stop telling people that there was going to be an album because years had passed. So we decided to try it. And, it worked out pretty well, actually.
And are you pleased with the result then? I mean, is it a new... I've heard the album, but for the listeners, is it a different kind of feel for Mary Chain, or is it the same sort of more mature version of your usual sound?
I mean, to be honest, I don't know what it is, because we just got on with the business of making a record, and it's, you know, I don't really worry too much about... I mean, the brief was that we wanted to make it recognisably Mary Chain. And there was no point in coming back after all that time with a record that sounded like another band. Yeah. So the idea was to just cherry pick the best bits of what we'd already achieved and bring it on all together on one album. Hopefully make a classic Mary Chain album.
Well, it certainly sounds like that to me. I mean, it's interesting looking back to your early days, isn't it, really, where you were hailed as the new punk, in a way. And it has a bit of a juxtaposition, really, for you, the sound that you make. I mean, the rebellion of your live shows obviously was very punk-orientated in the sort of traditional sense. But your sound is far more hypnotic and sweet in terms of the melodies. How do you balance all that up? Do you think you need to, or do you just do what you want to do?
Yeah, you don't need to. You just need to get on with it, really. I mean, really, you don't need to do anything you don't want to. And that all of this stuff about, you know, so-called rebellion, it was just us getting on with it. It was us refusing to accept what you were supposed to do. We'd never been in a band before. We didn't know what the rules were. We weren't particularly bothered about what the rules were. We just wanted to make music the way that we wanted to make it, and we weren't going to let anybody get in the way of that, really.
Well, that's great. I mean, that actually, that in itself is the spirit of punk as well, isn't it? Which is probably why you were getting sort of like categorised of that. But obviously, music is really just an individual creation, isn't it? So it can be, as you say, whatever it wants to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people very often are too much in a rush to do it the way everybody else does it, you know, and we didn't really see why. I mean, we kind of wanted to make music that had extremes, really, you know, extremely melodic but extremely noisy. And the two extremes were eventually what became our first album, which is Psycho and Candy. Psycho Candy, and that's... I mean, that's really all that's ever been written about that record. All you really need is that one made-up word, Psycho Candy, that describes what's inside.
Brilliant. I like that. I do like that. I mean, you know, talking about the sort of, you know, making records for essentially for the public to listen to it, and they make up their own mind, obviously, whether they want to buy it. But you have been quoted as saying that pop is dreadful. You know, you switch on the radio and I guarantee it'll be garbage. Apparently you have said that, Jim. So do you think that actually that idea of, you know, sugar-coated stuff today is the bit that drives you? Well, what is it that drives you now to continue making music after all these years?
Just to make music that we would love to be able to buy but don't seem to be able to find. That was the reason then, and that's the reason now. We had a kind of naive idea that we might shake things up back then and actually change the way the music business worked. But looking back on it now, that was absurdly naive. The music business then was bigger than any band, you know. Mm. The music business is, I guess, in threefold these days, so I don't really know what to make of it. But back then, we really thought we could make that kind of a difference. We thought we could change a lot with music, but no, you can't really.
No, it's a shame, isn't it, really? Because I think a lot of bands go into it with that view that they do want to change something, and then actually find out that the world is bigger than the one person.
We're all young, and that's it. Yeah, you go into it thinking you can actually change the world in a way. But you get chewed up and spat out by the machine, and then you sort of go away and lick your wounds and just think, well, what is it actually about? Well, what it's actually about is that, you know, we've left behind a bunch of bloody good records, and we continue to make bloody good records, and after all, I hope that they will still mean something to people in 10, 20 years' time, you know? Well, Psycho Candy, it's been 30-odd years since that came out, and people still seem to rate it, so we've done something right, and that's in the end, that's good enough. Yeah. You know, it is good enough. I'm hearing about little bands in places like Albuquerque that might be picking up Mary Chain Records from 25 years ago and making a band because of it. And so you think, well, that was what it was all about.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it, really? Actually inspiring other people into the industry and making a mark.
It was never really meant to be entertainment just for the week that it was released. It was meant to last longer than that, and thankfully it has.
Well, you've certainly done that, which is excellent, isn't it? I mean, looking back to those days when, like you were, say, 25, did you ever expect to still be performing in your 50s?
No. No, that would have seemed unreal, you know. People do it now, but they didn't then. It was only like the Rolling Stones that did it back then. But you look around now, people just keep going on and on and on, and it's not frowned upon the way it would have been back then. But I just couldn't have imagined it, you know. Being in your 50s when you're in your 20s is unimaginable. But being in your 50s and still doing the Mary Chain, that would have just seemed like, I couldn't have got my head around that.
But actually, it almost been like a dream come true, though, in a way, isn't it? Because you're still almost living that dream that you were when you were in your 20s.
It's kind of, yeah, I mean, it's sort of more enjoyable now in a weird way. It's just different, but a lot of it's the same, a lot of it's different. The you know, the bits that are different are better, if that makes any sense. Mm. What it is like, you know, in the beginning it was all like there was a bunch of people looking at you when you were on stage, and there was very much the feeling that you had a certain amount of time to to win those people over, and that could be terrifying. And as a result, we didn't even try. We just thought, oh, forget that. Now we go out there, there's a bunch of people that know everything about the band, and you, before you've done anything, before you've set your foot on stage, you've won them, you know, they're there. They're there because they've bought your records, and they're just, you know, everybody's happy with the arrangement, and it's much easier now.
And a lot quieter as well in the audience, I guess, from those early days, which is probably a
blessing.
Yeah,
yeah, thank God.
Yes. Now, you had a 10-year break in the middle of all that, though, didn't you? So was it actually tough leaving behind the, you know, the top of the Pops fame and then almost being in a world where no one's no longer interested in you?
It wasn't. I mean, it strangely wasn't, because I'm incredibly shy anyway. And I'm a singer in a band, it sounds weird, but I've never enjoyed recognition, you know, walking down the street. I kind of liked the fact that I wanted success. Hmm. And so I wanted to be able to switch it off. My ideal would be that you could do a TV show and then walk down the street and nobody knew who you were.
Yeah.
The bit where, you know, it for me, what it was I was always terrified the band would end, because I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. You know, could I pay my bills?
Yes.
And then when it happened, 10 years, I had a family. Money still came through. I wouldn't say that I was, like, you know, like rolling in it, but I realized that I could still keep going. It wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't like falling off the tightrope and there wasn't a safety net. Life continued, and it was quite easy going, and I didn't really mind. But then, you know, after a while, you start to miss the whole sort of thing, like going on tour, making records, you know, playing in front of people, and you know, the lure, you know, came back, you know.
Yeah, and then so almost like now you've got the best of both worlds in a way, haven't you? Because you're able to do that performance and enjoy it without the mayhem, I guess, that goes.
Yeah, and also, it's, you know, we're kind of, we do what we want now more than we ever did. It's like, you know, we can choose to go off and play for 2 or 3 weeks where and when we want. And that's a great feeling, you know.
And enjoy it, I guess, as well, for the main part of it. I can't obviously speak with you without mentioning your tempestuous relationship, I think I would describe it as, with your with your brother Will. It's been well recorded, hasn't it? You know, how are you getting on now?
We're getting on better than we have for a long time. The recording of the album Damage and Joy, we were putting it off because we thought it was going to be difficult in the studio. It turns out it wasn't at all. I guess we both realised that we just had to go on with making a record, and there wasn't time to start all these, you know, opening all these wounds from 25 years ago or whatever. We just got on with making a record. And we actually bonded making this record. We get on better now than we have for a long, long time.
Well, that's good. I mean, in a way, it might have been a bit of therapy for you in its own
way.
Yeah,
very therapeutic.
Yeah, bit of maturity as well, I suppose, isn't it? We're all getting older, and life's too short, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
It is. So you've got this new album out, and of course you're on tour. 11 dates in the UK, all through September, I believe. Followed by a European tour and a US tour as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
How have you been preparing for all that? Have you been out in the gym and getting yourself fit?
No, it's much easier than you think going on tour. I mean, all you do is sit around on a tour bus and then stumble about like 25 steps to the stage and back. People make out as if it's harder than it is. It's only hard if you make it hard. That's the truth of it.
Do you have any sort of like routines that you go through beforehand? Do you sleep on the tour bus, or do you go for a run in between? Are you a health fanatic now, or what do you do?
I don't drink at the moment, but I mean, to be totally honest, I have a drink problem. And if I'm sober, everything's sane, and if I'm not, then it all goes a bit weird. I've been sober for about a year now, so...
Perfect, that's great. Well, congratulations, because I know that's very difficult for a lot of people, isn't it? Especially in this business.
Yeah, touring for me is just reading books these days. I love to take my e-reader on tour and just bury myself in reading, and that gets me through them.
I like that idea. And what is on your e-reader for the curious out there?
reading Wolf Hall at the moment. Didn't watch it on TV. I'm just reading the book.
Oh, terrific. And you get immersed in it. Well, Jim, I wish you all the best on your tour. It sounds absolutely wonderful. I will be catching up with you. And do you know where people can buy tickets? I guess it's on your website.
Yeah, I guess it will be. I'm not sure.
I think so. So that's the jesusandmarychain.uk.com for anybody who doesn't know. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Jim. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kat. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cat Tales. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattales.co.uk.